Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our time together every Tuesday afternoon. It's on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band, the frequency modulated band, and streaming all over the world from Singapore on one side to Stockholm on the other. On voiceofvashon.org, and where you can go to hear the broadcast once it is put up in the archives. And I know that for many of you, because I hear from you when it doesn't go up almost instantaneously, I hear from you almost immediately. So before I get into the program, I have to deliver myself of a little bit of warmth around the heart and the soul. So those of you who listen to Susan and her program called Real Talk, which comes on every Tuesday at high noon, eight bells of the forenoon watch, and you know that she does interviews, and that you also know that for the last few weeks she has been taking a stand down from live broadcasting. But this week, she is back live, and she is back with another dear friend, and that is the artist Pam Ingles. Now, Pam is especially precious to me because not too long ago, she painted a portrait of your Captain Joe. And the reason for that is beyond the scope of this particular time in the broadcast. We can talk about it again some other time, but because I'm always an enthusiastic participant in anything that is about me, I bought the portrait. And so the purpose of the broadcast today with Pam and Susan was to talk about Pam's most recent show. And we also, she and I privately had a chance to talk about maybe she would do another picture for me, not this time a portrait. Even the most self-centered captain's quarters can only handle one of those. But it was just a lovely program, a lovely broadcast. I'm not going to get into the political part of it. You all know that I do not do much of that myself. And but just to say that being here with two friends, two ladies whose friendship has been a great thing for me over all the years that I've lived on the island was a very special way to begin the day. And I didn't even know that Susan was doing that when I drove up today. So the usual greetings to all of my listeners, all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, and on to the binnacle list. And we have some things happening. People leaving the binnacle list for good reasons, but I must now move into a binnacle list entry, which is particularly sad for me. So this morning was the memorial service for police officer Gordon Beasley in the suburb of Arvada near Denver. And this was the shooting that, after all the shootings that we have had in this country over the last several years, this is the one that finally struck close to Captain's quarters. Gordon's now widow, Karen, had been a guest in Captain's quarters along with a number of other people that had come for one of our campfires. And I listened to and watched the service today. It was streamed from one of the churches in the Denver area. They had to block out quite a bit of it, and I believe that probably was because they did not want to have photographs or pictures of people like the widow and the family members and a number of other people. So there was much of it that was blocked out. And I do know that there have been some particularly nasty Facebook entries in connection with this, which were directed at attacking the family in particular. I can't think of anything more disgusting, frankly, than to have that sort of thing happen. But happen it did. Happen it will again when we have the next one. But there was an element to this that I knew about but had not thought about, and I was caused to think about it in a little bit more detail as I watched the service. Gordon had been a school officer. And this seemed to me, as I heard about it, and it seemed to me even more as I heard the tributes coming to him, including from at least one of the students in the school where he had been the school resource officer. And this seemed to me then and seems to me now to be a particularly effective kind of policing. That if you can get to young people, and this is in a middle school, so if you can get to young people in their middle school years and you can catch, you hear about, if you are an effective listener, and you become involved and become part of that school family, as well as being a sworn police officer, then you're going to hear things, and you can act on those things, and you can act on those things in a way which does not involve a formal confrontation with the legal system or the law enforcement system. My sense is that Gordon was just that kind of police officer, that he came to know those children. He came to become involved with their lives, and he became involved in such a way that without a doubt he was able to handle problems when they were small before they became problems when they were big. I doubt that there is any way that you can capture all of these events and circumstances in a body of statistics. I don't know how you do it. I'm not a statistician. As you know, I'm a simple sailor who can barely read or write. But there is a qualitative way of looking at these things. And the qualitative way comes when you listen to the people who staffed that school, but even more so to the children with whom he interacted. And so this seems to me to be a particularly good kind of policing. It seems to me to be the same kind of policing when we had police officers, cops, Irish cops, walking the beat with a nightstick in Irish neighborhoods. In Manhattan, in New York. No patrol car, no partner, or maybe there were two of them, but walking and talking and listening and maybe even meeting out a little bit of informal street justice in the sense that I've got my eye on you. Now let's just pull it out and get on with doing what you're supposed to be doing. Young man, young lady. I don't think there's any way that you can quantitatively figure out how much you save or how much it costs, but the qualitative part of it seems to me to be pretty self-evident. And it must have seemed that way to the city or town or village or borough or whatever Arvada is in Colorado. To that city council to pay for that. It is true that there are two boys who are going to have the memories of their dad, and many of those memories were laid out in front of all of us who watched the service. It is true that they're going to be living with those memories rather than with his presence. But I also sense that those memories are strong because his presence was strong. I never met him, never talked to him. We may not have ever would have had the same interests, except in the interests of young people, because I myself have commanded thousands of them, 17, 18 years old. And for many of them, the service became their parents. But those are other stories for other times. My heart goes out to Karen and to the boys and to the rest of the family. And I was so deeply touched by what I saw and what I heard in that service. My hand is reaching out to you. You are all in the palm of your captain's hand. And that is what I have to say about all of that. During the week, I went to the change of command ceremony for the Coast Guard cutter Healy. I am Healy's sea daddy in the sense that when in the last assignment that I had in the Coast Guard before I became an honored retiree, a date which I dreaded, an event which I did not handle well, and for the first year, the sequel after that retirement ceremony and that retirement date, I handled even worse. But again, those are other stories for other times. So the last job that I had, I was the ICE boss. I was in charge of, on behalf of the commandant, who at that time was a fine commandant by the name of Admiral Jim Gracie. And I was Admiral Gracie's ICE boss, and I was in charge of everything that the Coast Guard did in the ICE anywhere in the world. I was the program manager for all of those activities, including the International ICE Patrol, which was created as a result of the Titanic sinking. And I was the fleet manager for the Coast Guard icebreaker fleet, which at that time was much larger than it is today. And during that time, we had completed the necessary study work, and we knew that we were going to build what I had hoped was going to be a replacement fleet, but turned out to be only one ship, a one-off, and that was the ship that we now know as the Coast Guard cutter Healy. Healy is named, by the way, for a legendary captain in the Revenue Cutter Service, which became the Coast Guard, named Roaring Mike Healy. And there are lots of Mike Healy stories. It'd be enough to say that the ship was named for him. And at the time that we were putting together the design parameters for Healy, we had already been working with Polar Star and Polar Sea. They were two of the ships that were in the fleet that I was managing. Both of them had controllable pitch propellers, and both of them had gas turbine engines. And both gas turbine engines and the controllable pitch propellers and the shafting that connected them together had been troublesome all of the two ships' lives. So I told my staff to not present me with a ship that had anything except a traditional diesel-electric drive with propellers that did not have controllable pitch blades. And so it happened. That's the way she was built. And that's why today she is in the traditional machinery layout that goes all the way back through the Wynn class and even earlier than that to a ship that was built in the 1920s, the Coast Guard cutter Northland. Incidentally, we built Northland with a sail suit as well. 1926, 1927. We give up hard on sails. That's why we still train fledgling officers in the Coast Guard cutter Eagle. So, change of command, and every 2 years the commanding officer is changed out. I had tried to extend that to 3 years, but did not have enough time to make that happen. So every 2 years the commanding officer is changed out. And it was in 2019 that I went to the change of command at which a lady Academy graduate relieved as her captain, and the same lady on Friday was herself to be relieved by another captain. The ceremony was held where we could actually go and sit on the flight deck and listen to the speeches and watch the ceremony, a ceremony which goes back so many hundreds of years that I don't even begin to count them up. And so we were sitting on the flight deck, and there were several of us who have had icebreaker command, and we had a special seating section. And there was a list of all of us who were going to be there. And as we, each one of us walked up to the brow, there were sideboys. Now, I don't know if we've talked about the sideboy custom, but it goes back at least to the Royal Navy, to the early days of the Royal Navy, and only ships have the privilege of mustering and providing sideboys. And they are sideboys. My particular side party had a young lady in it. They are still sideboys. Let us know that there were four sideboys because a person of my rank rates four sideboys. If I were a flag officer, I would rate more. If I were the commander in chief, I would rate even more. And the reason why you have a different number is that in the early days, as a senior officer acquired years, he also almost certainly acquired a certain additional avoirdupois or weight. In other words, he got heavier. And so sideboys were mustered along the side to help hoist the senior officer aboard. And the more senior the officer, the heavier he was, and the more sideboys that were mustered in order to get him from his small boat all the way up the side of the ship and onto the quarterdeck. The person being honored with sideboys is piped aboard by the bosun's mate of the watch, and the bosun's mate of the watch is using an instrument called a call, and the sound that the call makes is called a pipe. And so I was piped aboard through four sideboys, which is the number to which I'm entitled, by this bosun mate of the watch. And it was seated in a section right next to the family of the commanding officer relieving. And we were all recognized in the remarks. I do have to say, and I will say because I have to say it, that the remarks were overlong. And unfortunately, at least some of them were written by somebody else. In my heart and soul for senior officers who can stand up and speak from the heart, especially at ceremonies like this. The commanding officer being relieved was clearly sad to be leaving her home, her command. I know all about that because I had to do it six different times in ships and one time in a large shore command, where I just had a wonderful crew, and I hated to leave them. The commanding officer, the captain being relieved, always believes that the person who is relieving him is not going to take as good care of his ship or his unit as he did. That's not necessarily true. That's just what we believe. So my thanks go out to both the captain who was just relieved and the captain who relieved her for putting on a wonderful ceremony that did great honor to all of us, what are called in the Red Hull Fleet, all of us who have commanded in the deep ice. And it was just a glorious afternoon. The sun was shining, and it was just a perfect day. And my best wishes to the captain who was relieved. She is doing a penitential tour in headquarters, and after having a ship like Healy with a wonderful crew, then going back to headquarters is about as dismal as you can get. The Canadians have just commissioned their Arctic patrol vessel. And interestingly enough, she's being commissioned in the Royal Canadian Navy. So her name is Her Majesty's Canadian Ship, Harry DeWolf. And she was designed specifically for the Arctic. She is an ice-strengthened ship, not an icebreaker. And for reasons which are not clear to me, her designers must not have been sailors, because she is unfortunately and unhappily a very ugly ship. I can accept a certain amount of utilitarian ugliness, but usually when a ship is designed with pleasing lines, she also works well. This ship does not have, for example, open bridge wings, which always is something that I like to see and always wanted to have in all of my ships. Does not have open bridge wings. She has a lot of slab sides, which is called windage. She's going to be tricky to handle alongside in any kind of a wind. And she is, no way to put it, she's ugly. Her captain and crew are going to love her, I hope. I hope that she see kindly otherwise. The Canadians are building, I believe, six of them for the Her Majesty's Canadian Navy. And the Canadian Coast Guard will probably, I believe, is going to have two sisters, so that they're building eight altogether. The reason why the Canadian Navy has got the first six is that they are going to be used to do the same kind of patrolling that we do up in the Arctic with armed vessels. I have sent out the signals on this broadcast before, and I do so here again, talking about the Russian bear, and the Russian bear may be just resting his eyes right now in the Arctic, but the time will come. And I don't think that time is not very far off, when the Russian bear will raise first one eye and then open the second, and then the snout will come up out of the snow, and then some kind of swipe with a paw with the claws out is going to hit either or both the United States and our brothers and sisters in Canada. So this is, these first ships in this class are Royal Canadian Navy, and they are armed. They're not armed particularly strongly, but they are armed, and they are painted gray. They're not the red Canadian Coast Guard colors. So I welcome her into the joint fleet, and hope that she, along with all of us, even as we construct our own new icebreakers, is ever alert for that Russian bear to open first that one eye and then the second one, and then raise that claw. During the week, I got a solicitation to carry on with my note of last week about blood being needed. And I add to that now people are starting to get out and drive again. That means that there are going to be some accidents on the freeways. And so I add my hope and wish, my desire and my command that those who are able get in touch with the Red Cross and go ahead and make a blood donation. One of my favorite magazines is one called The Professional Mariner. And in a in the March 2021 issue of The Professional Mariner, something happened that I missed, but I am now catching up on it. So there's a little town not very far from the magical isle of Vashon. For all of you who are Captain Joe's people who do not live on the magical isle and who listen to me streaming live on voiceofvashon.org, there's a little town called Gig Harbor. And so up in Gig Harbor in March, a tug was moving a barge, and the tug captain fell asleep. Now, the tug captain was also the conning officer. When your Captain Joe falls asleep up in the captain's chair, there is a conning officer. There's an officer of the deck who is actually conning the ship. In this case, the captain was conning, and he fell asleep. And he alighted. You all will recall, but I'm going to refresh that recollection, that the term alighted means a moving object hits a stationary object. That's an elision. So when a ship goes through bridge abutments, for example, and hits and takes out a bridge, that ship has alighted with that bridge. A collision is when two ships hit each other. That's a collision. And the Greek philosopher Thucydides is said to have said that a collision at sea can ruin your entire day. But I digress. The tug captain fell asleep, and he alighted tug and barge with a house up on the beach. The report does not go on to say whether or not the house has been repaired, nor does it go on to say what happened to the captain and to his license, but I can be almost certain that his license is certainly going to be suspended, and almost certainly his employment with that particular company, unless he's the owner of the company, is probably going to be terminated. In other maritime and nautical news, I just received a copy of one of the magazines that comes from the Nautical Institute. The Nautical Institute is based in London, not very far from the International Maritime Headquarters near Blackfriars Bridge. And I am a member of the Nautical Institute, as I am of the Council of American Master Mariners, organizations which are dedicated to the increase in professional skills of, in particular, captains and masters. The Nautical Institute has delivered itself of a recent philippic in which it says, accidents can be prevented. Well done to the Nautical Institute for teaching us all of that, and I will probably be talking more about that. But I've come now, as once again I always do, far too quickly. The 4th of July is on Sunday. We celebrate that as the birthday of our land, which I and many, many of Captain Joe's people continue to serve. And the 1st of July is also the anniversary of the day that I took the oath for the first time at 17 up on the parade ground at the Coast Guard Academy in New London. And with that, it is time for me to say that once again, for all of you who are responsible for other people, take care of them. Watch their six. We will meet here again in just a week. Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on station and watching properly.